Hello everyone, and welcome to the Measure Evaluation PRH webinar titled GIS Data Linking to Enhance Multi-Sectoral Decision Making for Family Planning and Reproductive Health, based on a case study in Rwanda, started in September of 2011. The organization of the webinar will be as follows. Speaker information, I'll introduce myself a little bit. Acknowledge the people who helped make this a reality. Have a few words in the introduction, and then I'm going to talk about GIS data linking considerations for multi-sectoral and or multi-program data, because it's not always just linking different sectors. There are also other program databases that can be integrated. So multi-sectoral and multi-program go hand in hand. And then I'm going to talk about some examples of GIS linking visualization analysis based on data for Rwanda, present some lessons learned, and then open up the floor for questions and answers at the end. I'm hoping to take no more than 40, 45 minutes, so that we'll have about 15 minutes of time for questions and answers at the end of the webinar. My name is James Stewart, and I'm a geographer and a senior spatial analyst with Measure Evaluation. I've got about 15 years of experience as a GIS professional, 11 years in public health, and my email address is j.stewart@unc.edu if you have any questions that you would like to ask me after the webinar. In terms of acknowledgments, based on their significant contributions to the case study, I'd like to extend thanks to Dr. Fidel Ngabo, who's the director of the Maternal and Child Health Unit at the Ministry of Health in Rwanda, as well as Dr. Charles Hari, who's head of Integrated Health Management Information Systems, or HMIS. Also, Mr. Randy Wilson, Senior Advisor, Health Information Systems and Data Use with Management Sciences for Health, who works in Rwanda very closely with the HMIS unit. Mr. Norbert Payhague, the Country Director for the USA Deliver Project, as well as some key individuals with the USA Deliver Project who helped make the GIS data linking a reality. And then, as well, I'd like to thank everyone in Rwanda who participated in or facilitated the stakeholder interviews that were conducted in the field in September 2011. And the organization's representative were the Maternal and Child Health and Health Management Information Systems units at the Ministry of Health, the USAID Monitoring and Evaluation Management Services Project, and Measure Evaluation. I'd like to start out by talking about the value of linking multi-sectoral data using a GIS. As today's audience would probably agree, family planning and reproductive health services help provide the foundation for a healthy, stable, and economically viable society. And I think that concept is illustrated fairly well by the billboard that was photographed in downtown Kigali in 2011. In reality, past global strategies have often led to the implementation of family planning reproductive health programs that operate in isolation, and that's despite the value of integrated approaches. Unfortunately, the effectiveness of family planning reproductive health decision making can be somewhat undermined by a lack of information from other sectors, such as education or food security, or even other program areas, such as maternal child health and HIV/AIDS. In recognition of this, the Global Health Initiative, Principle Number 5, emphasizes the need for strategic coordination and integration to increase the impact of health programs. And here's a quote from the GHI website. The integration of health sector activities and the integration of health sector activities with activities in other sectors, such as water and sanitation, education, food security, agriculture, economic growth, etc., can potentially achieve high yield gains for health. Fortunately, multi-sector or multi-program integration can be facilitated by linking data sources. However, given the current situation, linking multi-sector data is often deterred by information systems that aren't really connected. And as you can see in the background image on this slide, they're not connected. There, you've got family planning, say in one stovepipe, HIV, agriculture, education, etc. A GIS can help solve this problem through its ability to link data sets, different data sets in different sectors, different programs. It can help overcome the stovepiping of data and help increase the information flow into programs for decision making. After multi-sectoral links have been established, a GIS can be used to enhance visualization analysis of family planning reproductive health program data, which can make program data much easier to understand and to use for evidence-based decision making. Multi-sectoral data, GIS data linking offers many benefits. To name a few, it provides maps, which are a highly visual method of communication. It establishes a more comprehensive foundation for decision making. It increases data demand and use. As people see data being used and they start working with it more, it will increase the demand and use. It helps identify data quality issues. When you go to linked data sets, you will see very quickly if there are missing geographic identifiers, or if they're missing data in various data sets, or if the data are not collected at the correct geographic level, or at a geographic level that's suitable for analysis. It supplies shared knowledge base for stakeholder cooperation, which is very important. And equally, it facilitates better targeting of interventions because you can see where the problems are. On a practical level, GIS data linking facilitates answers to geography-based questions, such as, do areas with a higher modern contraceptive prevalence rate, or MCPR, exhibit lower HIV prevalence among women of reproductive age in union? Or is unmet need for family planning different in urban and rural areas? To explore these benefits, Measure Evaluation, PRH, sponsored a case study in Rwanda in the fall of 2011. And Rwanda was selected for two primary reasons. Number one, it was designated by the USAID Office of PRH, or Population Reproductive Health, as a priority country for the support of family planning and reproductive health programming. And it also possessed a national spatial data infrastructure, which is the data, the policies, the personnel, that was mature enough to facilitate GIS data linking and analysis. For the case study in Rwanda, the primary goal was to explore data linking opportunities. We didn't know exactly what we were going to find before we went. We'd done some searches and research on what data were available, but it was really a data exploration exercise to see what data linking opportunities were available, and also to use free and open source GIS solutions to try to see what was possible using low-cost tools. And the case study, if you would like to download a copy, is available in the publication section of the Measure Evaluation website. And at the bottom of the screen, you'll see the URL to get to that publication. Based on the Rwanda experience, the goals of the webinar are the following. Number one is to highlight the value of common geographic identifiers in key data sources. It's a very important point. Identify free and open source software solutions for GIS data linking, as well as visualization and analysis, the three major activities that you would want to do with a GIS. Show how these GIS solutions can be used with multi-sectoral and or multi-program data to enhance the evidence base for decision making, and also to provide lessons learned to help lessen the learning curve for the use of multi-sectoral GIS data linking. GIS data linking considerations. The field visit in 2011, as I said, focused on exploring data linking opportunities, and the goal is to provide useful examples that could be used in Rwanda, but also elsewhere. So we're looking for opportunities that could be applied in other countries as well. So some key data sources couldn't be accessed for GIS data linking during the field visit, primarily because of their confidential or sensitive nature, such as the performance-based financing system, which is an incentive-based system for reporting, and also TrackNet, which is the HIV/AIDS database management system. And others could not be accessed because of the timing of the visit, because the staff at the MOH were neck deep in some very high priority activities at the time, and they didn't have a great deal of time to work with me. They're very helpful, but they didn't have a lot of time. So in this context, during the field visit, we focused on data sources that had a higher likelihood of being available in other countries. The primary two that would meet that requirement would be the demographic and health survey for Rwanda. There was a DHS done in 2010, and that data source was used for extracting indicators for family planning, reproductive health, HIV, education, and nutrition. And then what was considered in Rwanda, and I think could be considered elsewhere as well, a significant data linking opportunity was the possibility of pulling in family planning commodities data from the USAID Deliver project. And then I also, to show integration with other sectors, found the National Agricultural Survey of 2008, which was available from the National Institute of Statistics of Rwanda, and Poverty Household Surveys for 2000 to 2011 for poverty. Another consideration, key consideration for linking GIS data linking is to have common geographic identifiers in the different databases that you're trying to link. You really can't get very far without these common geographic identifiers. And so in the table, this is a district level crosswalk of administrative codes for Rwanda. We have the codes from the Demographic and Health Survey. We have the codes from the National Institute of Statistics of Rwanda, which is an excellent source for the standard administrative codes. And then we have the codes, the names and the codes from the Ministry of Health. There was a health facility database that was available. And using this crosswalk, we were able to connect the databases. In terms of the GIS options explored, the case study focused on free and open source software solutions to complement the existing tools. First was the Excel to Google Earth tool, which is good for mapping single indicators using data stored in Excel without the need for a geographic information system, a true geographic information system that does lots of analysis. And then for that fully functional GIS, we use Quantum GIS. You can do multiple indicators simultaneously in a single map. You can produce publication quality maps. And there, it offers advanced GIS analysis, which can extend the functionality of such systems as the District Health Information Software version 2, which is the system now in place for the health management information system in Rwanda. And Rwanda was in transition to that system in September of 2011 during the field visit. And they said that they were going to use the DHIS as their primary system starting in 2012, but they were still going to complement the work that they could do with that with Quantum GIS for publication quality maps and advanced analysis. And also there was OpenGeoda. It's a very simple but highly effective tool for exploratory spatial data analysis using data in a shapefile format. And I'll show you a little bit, I'll give you an illustration, a quick illustration of each of these. First is the Excel to Google Earth tool. To present a few highlights of the program, it's a quick and simple program for measure evaluation. It allows you to create color shaded, or what are known as choropleth maps by geographers, of a single variable without a GIS. You just need your Excel spreadsheet and Google Earth, and then the E to G program. And the output maps can be displayed on Google Earth's rich base map. It's very useful for data quality checks and illustrating reports, which are two key activities of family planning and reproductive health programs. And it's a good option for non-GIS specialists who work in Excel a great deal. Quantum GIS, as I said, is a fully functional geographic information system. It's excellent for multi-sectoral GIS data linking, visualization, and analysis. You can produce publication quality maps, such as the top map over on the right here. And also the middle map is you can see it's a pie chart overlay, and the bottom map is some circular buffers, hypothetical circular buffers around health facilities. So you can do a lot of things with QGIS. And last is OpenGeoda, or simply Geoda. It's a really simple but powerful tool. You can do maps, you can do box plots, you can do histograms, all at the same time. And all of the data views, here we have three data views on the screen, and they're all linked. They're all linked. So you can see that here we have the high outlier districts in Rwanda in terms of the percent married women aged 15 to 49 using any method of contraception. And these same outliers are highlighted in the box plot, and the same outliers are highlighted here in the histogram. You can see all these views simultaneously and get a very good sense of your data. Now I'd like to move on to some examples of GIS linking and analysis for Rwanda. I'm going to start with a basic single indicator map created using the Excel to Google Earth program. Looking at the title, it's percent married women age 15 to 49 using any method of contraception. And then if you go over to the legend, you have the percent of the married women here using any method of contraception broken into five classes based on equal intervals. And this is a very good way to look at whether or not your data are distributed normally using equal intervals. And you can see here that the data are fairly normal. The middle class has 20 observations, so that shows that the data are fairly normal. And the end result is that you can see that the highest concentration of percent married women using any method of contraception is highest in the center, and then it's lowest out here in the west. And then to integrate that with HIV data, you can have multiple variables in the same spreadsheet and then map a second variable. And here we have the percent women age 15 to 49 who are HIV positive by district. And if you look at the legend over here, once again we have equal intervals, and you can see that the distribution is not as normal as that for contraception. You have 13 observations in the second category. And then you have three high outliers here. So once again, using equal intervals as a type of histogram on a map, you can see the results, the general results are that you have a high concentration of HIV prevalence or higher HIV prevalence in the three districts of the city of Kigali, and then you have much lower HIV prevalence out here. Comparing the two, using the E2G tool, you can create individual maps and you can compare them side by side. You can create an integrated indicator and map that. Looking at these two maps side by side, you can see that there's no discernible correlation between the general use of contraception, which includes both traditional and modern, and HIV prevalence. And that evidence is supported by the fact that you don't have any special overlap between the districts with the highest percent women using contraception, which is over to the west of Kigali, and the districts in Kigali with the highest HIV prevalence. And then the districts with the lowest contraception use do not appear to coincide with either higher or lower HIV prevalence. These districts don't appear to coincide. And you can see that very easily using this basic tool. This map represents a more sophisticated approach to doing multi-sectoral or multi-program GIS data linking, as opposed to having individual maps that you have to compare side by side. This is a map created in QGIS that allows you to integrate multiple indicators into a single map and compare them simultaneously. And looking at the title, you have percent married women age 15 to 49 using contraception. This is general contraception use versus percent women age 15 to 49 who are HIV positive. And moving to the legend, you can see that you have a range of percent contraception use of 29.6 up to 76.6. And for percent HIV positive, you have a percentage of 0.5 up to 10.1 in the district in Kigali, the city of Kigali. And here, the most important thing is the type of map. You have percent contraception use as a choropleth or a color-shaded map as the base, and then you have the percent HIV positive as proportional symbols that are superimposed on that map so that you can see the two simultaneously. And the size of the symbols relates to the percent of women age 15 to 49 who are HIV positive. Looking at the map, just a couple of quick notes interpreting the map. I think you can see that if you look in the three districts in the city of Kigali, you have a weak but positive relationship between general contraception use and HIV prevalence. And out here, you have, it appears to be a divergence of the two indicators. You have a low percent contraception use, but you have a fairly high percent HIV positive. So the map allows you to see trends and anomalies between the two variables at the same time. Here's another map that integrates two themes simultaneously. It shows HIV prevalence for women age 15 to 49 versus contraceptive methods for the same group. And this is an example of reversing the order of variables being mapped to provide fresh insights, as opposed to having contraception use as the base map, the color-coded or color-shaded base map. You have HIV prevalence as the base map, and then contraception is superimposed on that to provide a context. And instead of using proportional symbols, these are just pie charts. And if you look at the legend, look at the colors here, one of the things that's really striking is the red category in the pie chart, which is the percent of women who are not currently using any method of contraception. That seems to be generally very high throughout the country, but it's highest in the western part of the country, especially here you can see in the southwest. overall, and here in the district of Rubaba, you have fairly low use of family planning methods. And also, another thing to note is how the use of any modern method, which is essentially the modern contraceptive prevalence rate, is about the same in the districts of the city of Kigali, despite the much higher HIV prevalence there. Still showing an example of integrating family planning and reproductive health with HIV. This is an example of drilling down. In the other map, if you look at the pie charts, you can see some detail. And you can see some things that are possibly unexpected between the level of HIV and the use of any modern method of contraception. But it's hard to see a lot of detail in the pie charts. So, of course, you can use QGIS to drill down into much greater detail, say to find out what's going on in the city of Kigali or a smaller geographic area. Once again, we have two variables that are displayed. We have current contraception for married women aged 15 to 49, and we have HIV prevalence for women of reproductive age as well. And if you look at the legend, you can see very quickly that, once again, no method at the bottom of the legend here, no method is the highest category in these pie charts, of course. But then when you look at the modern contraceptive methods that are used, you can see very quickly that injectables is the highest category, and it's followed by the pill, which is in blue. And then you have implants and male condoms. And male condom use is fairly low throughout the country. But you can see a much greater level of detail, and you can see information that you couldn't see at the other scale. Moving away from HIV and looking at some other variables in other sectors, here's a map that shows unmet need for family planning among married women of reproductive age versus educational attainment by women, as well as poverty. This is an example of a map that integrates three variables at a time. It's much simpler, much quicker to use to integrate two variables at a time in a map, because if you integrate more than that, you get into three variables, and it takes a little bit more time to interpret. You have to sit down and spend more time with the map. But with that caveat, you can still get a lot of information out of combining three variables. As context, it's generally accepted that unmet need for family planning in Rwanda is highest among women who are the poorest and least educated. And this map appears to confirm this. If you look in the city of Kigali, the three districts in the city of Kigali, and you compare that to the legend, percent unmet need for family planning, the smaller the circle, the lower the unmet need. You have that going in the city of Kigali. Median years of education, the highest level of education would be blue, so you have blue here. Percent poor, the lowest percent poor would be in the light yellow. So you have small blue circles on a light yellow background in the three districts of the city of Kigali. So it's a quick way comparing color size and position. You can see a convergence of these three particular indicators. And then in terms of the other side of confirming the fact that unmet need for family planning is highest among women who are the poorest and least educated, if you look at the rural areas, you can see that you have larger circles, which means higher unmet need for family planning, and they're orange and red, which means lower education. And then the provinces themselves are highlighted in darker colors, which means the percent poor is higher. So you can see a convergence of higher poverty, lower education, and higher unmet need for family planning all on the same map. And then this is just another example of integrating three variables on a particular map. On one map, you have percent unmet need for family planning, percent women with low nutrition, and the percent of households with food insecurity. And really, if you look at the map, it suggests no strong geographic link between these three variables. You really have three different areas here. You have one area that has a low unmet need for family planning in the center of the country. I'd say in here you have low unmet need for family planning. But then percent of women with low nutrition, you're looking at areas that are kind of scattered around the country. And then food insecurity, if you look at the colors on the left, the red, the highest food insecurity is down here. You do have a couple of anomalies here. You have very high food insecurity in the city of Kigali, which is a bit unexpected. And then here, just to the west of Kigali, you have a very high percentage of women with low nutrition. So it's this type of map is more complex to interpret, but it does show some good relations between, or show the relationships or lack of a relationship between variables. I'd like to move now to an example of integrating, linking family planning reproductive health program data with family planning commodities data, because this is a very significant data linking example in Rwanda, and I think it can be applied in other countries as well. And the example was looking at mapping women using any modern method of contraception or the modern contraceptive prevalence rate versus couple years of protection or CYP. Integrating these data sets represents a significant data linking opportunity for many programs, I think, outside Rwanda. It relies on the same data linking principles used in the previous sections or previous examples, and it can be used as a model for integrating data from an existing HMIS and the data, family planning commodities data from the USA Deliver project. Just some quick notes, background. I used district-level geographic identifiers for the linking. I summarized a couple years of protection by district using the supply chain manager data from the USA Deliver project. And the couple years of protection can be calculated relatively easily using routinely collected data in combination with the CYP conversion factors from USAID, and they're available on the USAID site as well as on the measure evaluation site. And one caveat is that the CYP data need to be adjusted for unreported data and inventory balance errors before you can map them. And so you have to work closely with USA Deliver Project staff. On the calculation of CYP, it's a simple indicator of volume of family planning commodities distribution for a given geographic area. So as a simple sum of estimated durations of contraceptive methods, it does not take into account the differences in sizes of reported areas, the sizes of the geographic areas, or differences in the size of the underlying populations. So as a result, it's not a very good variable as is to use for CorPLETH or the color shaded areas mapping. So it's first necessary to normalize the calculations based on the proportion of district populations that have women of corresponding to women of reproductive age. And here's the map that was created. It shows the percent married women age 15 to 49 using any modern method of contraception, which is the modern contraceptive prevalence rate, versus a couple years of protection. And what I expected to see when I created a map was that there would be low couple years of protection, in areas with low modern contraceptive prevalence rate, and high CYP in areas with high modern contraceptive prevalence rate. That the two would be pretty much in harmony. And if you look at the map, you don't see a lot of anomalies. There appears to be a fairly stable positive relationship, but there are a couple of inconsistencies that warrant further investigation. Number one would be here in the Nyarugenge, which is the westernmost district in the city of Kigali, you have the highest couple years of protection value, and that's 0.411. Yet, the district is not in the highest category of the percent of women using any modern method. So there appears to be some type of divergence there. The other one would be here in the district of Rubaba. You have a very low percent of women using any modern methods in terms, because these are standard deviations. It's beyond one standard deviation from the mean. And at the same time, you have what appears to be a fairly high couple years of protection. So it looks like there are a lot of family planning commodities being distributed there, yet the use of the modern methods is not high according to the district, the DHS, the Demographic and Health Surveys. So there's something there that warrants investigation. To me, the map is valuable because it highlights the ability of multi-program data linking to uncover unexpected patterns and relationships. It also shows how linking indicators in a single map can help target geographic areas for potential interventions. We looked at the data quality, and there were no data quality issues, so it just really warrants some investigation to find out what the root cause is. And it illustrates the usefulness of GIS data linking for conducting cross-database comparisons, which I think is a very valuable thing. Lessons learned from the case study. There are three categories. I'll just talk briefly. There are key data sources, common geographic identifiers, and software in terms of lessons learned categories. With respect to key data sources, I found that some data sets are easily accessed or are at an appropriate geographic scale for analysis, such as the Demographic and Health Survey for Rwanda. This is available in many countries. Data were provided down to the district level, and just staying at the province level or the region level would have been difficult to see a lot of detail. But working at the district level, we were able to tease out more information. And other data sets or other key data sources may be more difficult to access and use for a variety of reasons. There could be data confidentiality concerns. There could be organizational barriers to data sharing that just haven't been overcome yet. There could be geographic scale issues and the timing of the data request. These issues exist everywhere. It's not specific to Rwanda. And to overcome these data access limitations in general, wherever you might want to do multi-sectoral GIS data linking, I would recommend setting up local stakeholder meetings to discuss the data linking benefits and identify opportunities for people to work together, and to develop an action plan about how you're going to move forward. Once you see, you discuss the benefits and maybe you have some sample maps and you see the value, it seems like you could really make a lot more progress working with people. And it will give you the ability to establish long-term working relationships, because it's difficult for an individual to work in isolation to affect multi-sectoral or multi-program data linking. A couple of notes. I have to talk about a couple of points I'd like to make about the supply chain manage your database from the USA Deliver Project. You need to work closely with the USA Deliver Project staff to obtain data adjusted to 100% reporting rate. It's highly important to have accurate population data for normalizing the couple years of protection, because CYP calculations can vary widely depending on the size of the denominator. And the USA Deliver Project should be considered a key partner for GIS data linking. They have lots of great data, they're very knowledgeable, and they have a very helpful staff. Just a quick note on the HIV/AIDS data management system. I wasn't able to link to that, but I think there's a lesson there that has applicability outside of Rwanda. The feeling among key stakeholders was that family planning and reproductive health programs could benefit from linking the health management information system to non-identifiable aggregated data from the HIV/AIDS system, not to link to personal data or confidential data, but aggregated data, because that would allow them to answer such questions as, is there an uptake of family planning and HIV testing referrals associated with integration of family planning, reproductive health, and HIV services? And similarly, with the performance-based financing system, which exists outside of Rwanda as well, based on stakeholder conversations, there was a feeling that it would be great. This would be a great data linking opportunity, because it could provide a cross-check of common indicators, and such a national level feedback mechanism could really provide a strong incentive for health centers to perform. But that's a big project that would require a lot of stakeholder input. Quick note on common geographic identifiers. There was an excellent availability of geographic identifiers, geographic data and identifiers for Rwanda. The geographic identifiers and several data sets could be downloaded from the National Institute of Statistics of Rwanda or the Ministry of Health sites. And that provided, I think, a very good example for other countries to follow. And that's talked about in the report that is posted online. Lessons learned for software. I'd have to say that free and open source GIS software options have really advanced in recent years. You have the Excel to Google Earth and Google Earth and, itself that are highly accessible to non-GIS specialists. QGIS offers a high degree of functionality. Geoda provides what I consider point-and-click geographic data visualization analysis. It's a very simple tool if you have a shapefile, just to go through the point-and-click menus and get some great results in a very quick period of time without a lot of learning curve. And these solutions can complement existing systems, such as the District Health Information System, which is gaining use, not only in Rwanda, but elsewhere. And just to summarize, I would like to close out by saying that multi-sectoral, multi-program integration offers many benefits and is a global health initiative priority. Multi-sectoral, multi-program integration can be facilitated by GIS data linking, but it requires common geographic identifiers and some legwork to understand what those are. The free and open source GIS solutions that are available can meet many, or if not most or all, data linking needs of family planning reproductive health programs. And the Rwanda case study, which is available on the Measure Evaluation website, can serve as a reference for how to apply multi-sectoral GIS data linking to enhance decision making for family planning and reproductive health programs. Thank you very much for your time today, and I would like to open up the floor for questions at this time. I see a question here about DHIS2. It's not coupled with QGIS. There is a module within the DHIS2, and you can do some key operations with it. It's good for day-to-day operations because it does have a good dashboard that will allow you to display Excel-type graphics, pie charts, bar charts, maps. You can click on those from your dashboard. The limitations of the DHIS2 are that it's not great for cartographic output at this time. So if you want to create maps using the DHIS2, it's really still a bit lacking. And so that's where QGIS can really help. And QGIS can be used with shapefiles if you can get a shapefile. And you can get, I believe, a KML file, keyhole markup language, out of DHIS2 and then use that in QGIS as well. I see a question here from Darren Trudeau. How does QGIS compare with Esri products? I would say that QGIS compares. ArcGIS has a lot of functionality. It's got a lot more technical support, a lot more documentation, and I would say the functionality is more polished. It's there's more rigor to it, but at the same time, I would say that QGIS has made great strides, and it gets better and better with each version. There tend to be some gotchas from time to time working with QGIS, but overall, you can use it for the bulk of JS data linking. You can use it for map production. The Print Composer interface has undergone a big transformation, I believe, for the next version that's coming out. I haven't had a chance to work with 2.0 yet, but it does have a lot of functionality there, and I think it merits investigation. Even if you're using ArcGIS, you should take a look at QGIS just to see how you might be able to use it. I see a question here. Does the Deliver project have good geographic data on Nigeria, or were you particularly referring to Rwanda? I don't know the answer to that question. We could definitely find out. I was specifically working in Rwanda, but it would be a very quick inquiry to find out what data are available for Nigeria. How long did the case study take? I was in Rwanda for about 3 weeks and working with people, and then as far as the analysis and everything, probably another month, just back and forth with stakeholders and various reviews and that kind of thing. Let's see, what resources would you recommend for non-GIS experts who want to explore the use of GIS for planning, family planning, reproductive health research? If you're a non-GIS expert, I would recommend the Excel to Google Earth tool. If you have data in an Excel spreadsheet, the Excel to Google Earth tool is a very, very simple tool to use. You just need to have geographic identifiers in the spreadsheet, and because of the inconsistencies with the use of administrative codes, the Excel to Google Earth tool actually makes a link between your spreadsheet and the mapping program using names, which is not ideal because of spelling variations and all that. So you have to have a column in your spreadsheet that matches the names that are used by Excel to Google Earth tool. But we have tutorials available on the Measure Evaluation website. We have some YouTube videos, and we have extra documentation. So that would be a good way to go. And also the GEODA would be a very easy tool for doing geographic data visualization. Just one moment. Let's see. In terms of Excel to Google Earth, right now the current version has administrative divisions for 40 countries, but we are in the process of creating a new version that will allow you to use your own coordinates. And we're working with trying to figure out the best way between shapefiles and keyhole markup language or KML files. So in terms of using it for Central America, that functionality could be coming very soon. So here, what's the difference between ArcGIS and QGIS? I'll get to that question. I think I've already addressed that somewhat. ArcGIS and QGIS offer very similar things, although ArcGIS has much fuller functionality, I believe. See. Yeah, I see a question here from Ranjith. Have you used shapefiles to lay the maps on Google Earth? That you can use that. You can export shapefiles from QGIS and display those in Google Earth very easily. We use shapefiles to extract the coordinates for the Excel to Google Earth tool. Here's a question. What is the event system available to use more than four indicators in a map in ArcGIS? I'm not sure I understand the question. You can integrate several indicators at a time using ArcGIS or in QGIS, and the focus of the case study was really on using open source tools. But you have a lot of options there. You can use pie charts, you can use color shaded maps, you can use bar charts. You can use dot density. You have a lot of options, especially in ArcGIS. You have more options in terms of cartographic display. Here's a question: are there any tutorial notes to learn QGIS? Yes. If you go to qgis.org, there are manuals available. They have the most current version is in English, but they do have a version for, I think it's for the last version of the software is in French, and they have some other languages as well. How long did the whole process of preparing these maps take? It's hard to say. I mean, it only takes a few days to get a map out because you might make some tweaks or whatnot yourself. But then in terms of review and all of that, that can take some time, the back and forth with stakeholders. But you're probably only talking a day or two, possibly, and that's on the high end. That's being conservative, just to make sure you've got your data and all that. With the linking to the between QGIS and the Supply Chain Manager database required more back and forth, getting data from Access database and getting it into an Excel spreadsheet that could then be aggregated at the district level because the data were at the facility level. They had to be aggregated to the district level. And so back and forth with the USA Deliver project in Rwanda took more time working with that particular database. But if you have your indicator and you've decided what question you're answering and how you're going to display it, you can create a map in under a day for sure. Here's a question. Do you hope to replicate this approach best practices to other countries like Uganda? If so, what does Uganda require to work with you? Yes, we would like to replicate this approach best practices in other countries, definitely. And so in terms of what's required to work with us, we have the documentation that is available, the case study in particular that is available on the website. And it's really just a matter of looking at that. And if you have specific questions, then you can email me. And if I can't help you directly, then I can funnel your question to someone else who can. Is there a specific division at USAID that works with GIS? There's GIS activity in many areas within USAID, but they also have a new GeoCenter, which is looking at standardizing and centralizing GIS support within the agency. And if you look up the USAID GeoCenter, there's a lot of information available about them. For mapping study, which software is appropriate, Quantum GIS or the District Health Information System? That depends on what you mean by mapping study. If you are talking about going out and collecting data and getting it into the routine health information system, then the DHIS2 is a great option. But also Quantum GIS can be used to create publication quality maps, illustrate reports, etc. So there's a complementarity there. The District Health Information System is more of an integrated nationwide system. It's a national system that requires a very big collaborative effort among organizations to implement, because you have to set up the setting up the system and everything. You have to have a lot of stakeholder buy-in. Quantum GIS is something that you can use by yourself if you'd like, because you can download the software from the QGIS website, and you can work with it on your own computer, as long as you have a shapefile or a KML file, some kind of input file to use. Here's a question. Are there any plans for training on QGIS? We do training on QGIS. Our partners do training on QGIS in several areas. And I just got back from Senegal in February, and I was there in February and April, March and April, part of the 3 months doing QGIS training there. And that was a regional Francophone workshop that is conducted with the measure evaluation partner at CESAG, the university there in Dakar. So we do have QGIS trainings that happen regionally, and there may be some QGIS training materials that are coming online for measure evaluation in the future. And as I answered previously, there are also some tutorials. A lot of people are using QGIS, so if there's a growing community, a growing knowledge base there. If you look on the QGIS site, there are many links, and there are fora and various resources that are out there for QGIS. So if you do some Google searches, you can find a lot of information on QGIS, but we may have some additional resources available in the near future. Yes, and I see Clara Burgert has responded. Measure evaluation, measure DHS also have a QGIS curriculum. Yes. Is it easy to get the source data from different sectors to other countries like Ethiopia? That is going to depend on the country in which you are working. Data access is, of course, going to be different in different places. And so that's why I recommended, as opposed to trying to do data linking by yourself or in a vacuum, I think it really does benefit you if you try to launch a collaborative effort and identify some key stakeholders, some programs or organizations that have data that you would like to integrate, and have a meeting and talk about the benefits or explore the benefits and see what opportunities you have to work together. Could you say more about the national spatial data infrastructure that exists in Rwanda? I think that it is it has a very from the perspective of the geographic identifiers, having good policies for use of geographic identifiers and geographically tagging data, I think that Rwanda is fairly advanced. If you look at many developing countries, you may not have such a widespread use of geographic identifiers that allow you to link the data sets. But when I went in to do the data linking, I found common geographic identifiers in not only in the demographic and health survey data, but also in all the data sets I worked with. I was very impressed working with the people with the Health Management Information System unit. All of their data sets had geographic identifiers. There were none missing. And the supply chain manager database maintained by the USAID Deliver Project had identifiers, very easy to link the data sets, even though they were at the facility level. They had all the geographic identifiers, facility, district, sector, province. And so just throughout, I thought that there was a very sound structure in terms of policies and the rest of the infrastructure. I haven't analyzed it in detail, but it's obviously strong for the situation that I observed to occur. I would say it's a strong national spatial data infrastructure. Let's see. Let's see what other questions we have here. Here's a question. What are the geographic identifiers? Yes, that is a key item for consideration. That is, those are the district codes. It can be names, such as the district names. It could also be codes, such as say you have a province and it's province one, and then you have a district which is the first province, and so you would have 01 for the province and 01 for the district. So you have a code there, 0101, and that's the geographic identifier that would allow you to connect information for that particular district with information from a different source for that same district. So you have to have a code there or some way to link or merge data sets in a table. Is that clear about geographic identifiers? They can be names, they can be codes. We recommend the use of codes. Because you don't have spelling errors, spelling variations, things of that nature if you're using standard codes. And I thought Rwanda provided a great example by having their standard administrative codes available from the website for the National Institute of Statistics of Rwanda. I thought that was a very good practice. Okay, I think that we've gone over our allotted time. We're about 10 minutes over. I really do appreciate all the questions. I hope I've answered them well. If you have a question that I did not get to, or if you have an additional question, please email me. My email address is j.stewart@unc.edu. It is, and my last name is spelled Stewart. So it's j.stewart, Stewart, at UNC for University of North Carolina, .edu. And thank you very much.